So that's why I think that what's in common is that we all like to laugh.
Very true.
And as I mentioned, the John Stewart kind of way of doing it is to, you know, nobody wants to get politics shoved down their throat.
Monica Lewinsky did.
Ready for action, nip it in the bud. We never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting. Not clashing, not at all. But see, my nigga went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking.
He's the fourth one. He's the number four.
Number four. I'm number four.
That was an interesting movie. You see that movie?
Wait, number four?
Yeah, I am number four. See that?
I have not seen it.
Oh, it was a horrible movie.
Wait, is that really a movie?
It was, yeah. I forget. It was about these alien kids who, like, were, I guess, they were being hunted, and they ended up going down to Earth, and they had these superpowers, and it was the worst movie. Maybe because that was one of the first times I was trying to get high, and I was sitting there watching that movie. But that was, it was a god-awful movie.
Yeah. Was it on Netflix?
No, well, it's on Netflix. I'm sure you could watch it. You probably wouldn't watch it.
Well, I like watching horrible movies from time to time.
It had the guy from John Carter in it. So.
Don't blame him.
He was good. He actually brought the movie back to life. So.
You know, I just got a DVD. I just got a Blu-ray the first time.
Yeah.
And when the first movie they bought it was on sale, 2012.
Oh, no.
That's, I was like, that was awesome. I remember I went there Thanksgiving and watched it. Yeah. So I was like, I could not wait. When I saw the movie coming out, the first trailer, I was like, I will be there opening weekend. I'm going to watch that. That looks so horrible.
Because who doesn't love a John Cusack movie? Though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sure. Serendipity. Come on now.
When a movie is really horrible, it's just so wonderful. And that hit all points of just awfulness. So I can't wait to watch it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, let's go around the table real quick. What was the worst movie that you were, like, hyped for and it was just god-awful? Can you think of one?
I would say Prometheus, the recent
one. Right? That was horrible. I did not like that. I don't know why. I was expecting so much more.
Yeah, I guess that I loved the special effects that were in it.
Right.
I really admired that. But I'm not a big guy on horror.
Yeah.
I mean, I like, you know, I don't like, you know, always happy movies. But that thing, I didn't like any of the characters.
That's Silas. He doesn't like horror, but he likes whores.
I did not say that.
No, I'm just having this totally playing around. Totally playing around.
But as a matter
of fact... Nothing wrong with a good horror.
A good horror movie is awesome, but horror, I don't know.
I guess I admired the special effects, but I didn't like the plot line at all.
Oh, totally, yeah. And they're thinking about doing a part two, from what I understand, of Prometheus.
Really?
So, I don't know how...
I'm surprised.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Wait, part two, isn't it a prequel?
Yeah. So
isn't part two the actual movie?
Well, they called it a quasi-prequel.
There you go.
Actually.
Yeah.
So it was not exactly a prequel.
Well, I will quasi-go see it.
There you go.
Okay.
How about that? Not really.
Fair enough.
I will not really see it.
Fair enough.
I didn't see Prometheus.
You know what I haven't seen yet is The Hobbit. And I'm slightly bitter about the fact that I just feel like it's a scam to get $30 out of me instead of 10.
Right.
And I haven't seen
it. Wait, because you'll only go see in 3D? Or?
Well, no, because they split it into three parts.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And,
I don't know. I feel like a lot of movies should be like two movies at least. Like they usually break it up. Like most movies should be like 4 hours. But we just can't do it because we always complain they always cut all these good parts. Now this one, they're adding stuff in.
Yeah.
Like...
No, I don't know. I heard it's too long. You know, even this part.
You know what was interesting? I hated the first Lord of the Rings. And then the second one was okay. And then, you know, I really liked the second one. The third one, it was just meh for me. But then I watched The Hobbit, and I actually really liked it. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. And I remember, like, I was talking to my buddy Tyron. And he was, you know, I was like, man, this movie's great. I was like, how are they going to wrap this whole thing up? I didn't know it was a trilogy. I was like, Tyron, how are they going to wrap this up in the next, like, 10 minutes? He was like, it's a trilogy. I was like, you son of a bitch. I got to go see two more movies with you.
I enjoyed it. I mean, it was definitely just a different feeling than the book. It's not a children's movie. They had parts. They tried to make it a prequel to Lord of the Rings, which it isn't.
Right.
I mean, it's just one. The ring is the only thing that...
Well, maybe I should have... Maybe I do have a bad attitude. Maybe I should say, hey, they've given me triple the pleasure, potentially.
Exactly. Triple the pleasure. I did see it in the regular 2D. I'm going to go back. though, to see it in the
what is it, 48?
3D and the 48. There's three different versions you
what
can
is
see.
It? What is it, 48 kbps or something? Or I don't know what that is. I don't know. I'm just throwing out letters. It's random.
Yeah.
But anyways,
I saw it. 48 frames per second.
Okay, 48 frames FPS. Per second. FPS. There you go. I don't know what kbps are. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, it was weird because it seems like it's so much faster, and it doesn't, it almost looked fake for a minute.
Did you see, so you saw it in the
48? Yeah, we saw it 3D in the, you know, the 48 frames per second, and it was just, it seemed like it was too fast at first.
Is it like a high-def TV, like I have this high-def TV that has 120,
mm-hmm.
like the hertz or something?
Yeah, yeah.
So everything looks fake?
Yeah.
Like, because it's so real?
Yeah.
It looks like I'm looking behind the camera?
Yeah.
Like I'm there, and I'm like, this is weird, exactly. And I don't like it. I do so not like
real,
it at all.
Fake.
It's fake.
It might be like that for you at first, and then you kind of just, your mind forgets towards the end of it.
Sorry. Could you see the camera shaking, like, every second?
No, not the camera shaking, but you could definitely see, like, hands moving faster than what they feel like they should have moved.
Because they're moving, like, real?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The flicks I'm pushing right now are Lincoln and Life of Pi.
Oh!
Life of Pi. I'm told they did, like, that whole thing with CGI and in a studio, and they never went to the ocean.
Wow.
And I read that book years ago, and I was like, this is never going to be a movie. And mm-hmm. I was so wrong. I mean, Ang Lee did a fantastic
job. My coworker said she cried at it. She said it was great.
It's really good.
Yeah. That, and then Lincoln, I hear, like, I still, those are the two movies I wanted to see, but unfortunately the girlfriend was just like, all right, we're going to go see Les Mis. So, I mean, not that it's bad.
You can't go by yourself?
Well, I mean, I will eventually.
Will you go to a movie yourself?
Yeah, yeah, totally. I'm one of those people who, like, I can give two shits. But I always feel weird because I feel like now you can't be that person sitting alone in a theater because everybody thinks you're going to do something weird. You know what I mean?
Then I'm looked at a lot.
Who cares? Yeah,
I see movies all the time.
But yeah, I'll go by myself.
Going by myself. I don't have to worry about anything. It's it's nice. Sometimes I wish my wife will say, cause she doesn't like to go to movies that much anyway. Sometimes I wish she'll just say, you should go by yourself tonight to a movie. I'll be like,
it was after that kind of fight, huh?
Exactly. Anytime.
Yeah.
Oh, I can be so happy.
Yeah.
Like, make some sweet love,
exactly.
Have a nice dinner, and then she goes, hey, go to a movie.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how mine is. She's like, you know what? You wrote a lot today. Why don't you go treat yourself? So to me, that could either mean go see a movie or touch myself. So I don't know if that's what she meant.
Depends on the movie.
Exactly. Yeah, it depends on the movie.
Could
you both?
That's why you don't want to go alone. You want to get Pee Wee Herman thing. All that stuff.
Exactly. Caught in the theater by yourself. You're like, oh.
Sorry. I really like Pixar, though.
Yeah. Pee Wee's career went downhill from that. So.
Cars 3's coming out, Manny.
Yeah.
Don't catch you in there by yourself.
I know, right? Then you would be a level 3, huh?
Yeah.
So, that would be terrible.
So, Scott
Yo.
Bastian.
That's right.
That's right.
The one, the only.
Playwright, author, scientist.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What don't you do?
I have no idea. Well, I don't tap dance and, maybe I'd look a lot like the elephants on Fantasia.
Whatever.
So your book that came out recently, that your most recent book, is that your first book?
Well, other than my thesis, yes.
Okay.
Nobody's reading my thesis these days.
What's the title of the book?
It's called Do You Think? Science Fiction, and Skepticism.
Hmm.
And it's a collection of short plays and monologues. And it's only available as a Kindle book right now, but I'm busily preparing the paper edition, which should be out very soon. And it's available from Amazon. And so you can look it up as Do Ya, as in Y-A, Think. Under my name, Scott Bastian, but that Scott has one T in it.
Okay.
We'll have a link on our site directly to it so they can purchase
That'd
through us.
Great.
Support you, support us.
Fantastic. And I'm also, the website's not done, but I'm preparing it, and I'm going to get a blog together. And so things are moving along. My hope, my dearest hope in my heart mm-hmm. is that I'll get a science theater going where we do... We do plays that are involved with theater and for people who are interested in both science and theater. So we would do, hopefully, plays like Copenhagen or Proof or Inherit the Wind, some of the classics.
Very cool.
That'd be great.
Or that play, we just talking to an author, and I was like, that'd be a great science fiction play.
Yeah.
But it was that was a cool idea.
But my plays are, there's some serious plays, but most of them are comedy.
Okay.
I kind of went, Well, I don't think. Let's say I went to the John Stewart School of teaching. I like people to laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, you guys are comedians, so you know all about this. Mm-hmm. And when people are through laughing, you hope that they think a little bit.
Exactly.
So to give an example of one of the plays, I wrote a play called Missing the Boat, where it's two unicorns that are trapped on the island of Atlantis, and they're desperately trying to get to Noah's Ark.
Oh.
And they try and hitch a ride with a couple of brontosauruses that come by on a raft. Unfortunately, the brontosauruses have been rejected by Noah because they're going through their homosexual phase. So it ends tragically for all involved, and I like to think it's a comedy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I'm also asking questions, you know, about, you know, what happened to the dinosaurs? Why didn't they get on the boat? Why aren't there no, where's the penguins? You know, how did they get all the way up to the Middle East? You know, things like that.
Wow.
And so I, you know, and another example of a play is two old boys from the South somewhere are sitting on a porch, and one of them is convinced that we're being invaded by extraterrestrials in the guise of McDonald's employees. And, you know, so it sort of wraps up all these, like, weird conspiracy theories that people have. And and it's called Frying Saucers. And so that's kind of the level of, quote, science that we're at.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know? So that's where, you know, the skepticism comes in. There's a couple of serious ones, but...
Wait, these are from the book?
Yes,
okay,
these are in
okay.
the book.
But
yes.
they're... As novels?
Or they're play? Short plays.
Short plays.
Yes.
So it's a
yes.
it's a play novel.
It's an anthology of plays. Oh, novel
How
plays.
How about that?
Wow, nice. There you go.
Two monologues and 13 short plays.
Nice.
And it's $2.99. You can't hardly go wrong. And it's available for Kindle, Kindle Fire, iPad, iPod, Galaxy readers. And you can also download the software to your PC if you just want to read it on your PC. And, you know, it's hard to go wrong for $2.99, really.
I think
it's a lot of fun. And most of the plays are, I wouldn't call them adult in nature exactly. I think kids could read them too. But I guess I'd call it PG. There's a few swear words in it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You know, nothing too serious.
The way kids are nowadays.
I liked your the Noah's Ark one. That'd be a funny cartoon.
Actually, I've seen similar cartoons, and I'm like, wait a minute, I had that idea.
Yeah.
I like the idea of turning it into a little animated short.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, if people go to my website, which it's scottbastian.com, they'll see a picture of Rose Kinney and Jeff Nelson in a picture that was taken by Carl Nelson of a couple of unicorns when it was performed on stage.
Nice.
It's been performed now in a couple locations. One at the Warp Theater show about, I think it was a year or two ago. And, also, we performed it in front of the Seattle Skeptics meetup.
And,
so we had a lot of fun with that.
But
it's a great picture.
Do you do a lot of meetup groups?
Yeah, I like the Seattle Skeptics meetup group, and I'm a member of the Singles meetup group, the Urban Homesteaders group, although I haven't gone to that much, and the Science of the Mind group. And I'd like to start a group, I think, just called Seattle Science, you know,
there
for people who are fascinated by science, because I love all aspects of science, biology, astronomy, physics, you know, psychology.
It's an amazing thing.
Did you go see the dead people exhibit?
No, I did not see that. I've seen a few dead people when I was in grad school.
Right. Yeah. Did you see that exhibit?
I'm not good with dead bodies.
I was creeped out by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell a little anecdote. When I have a degree in experimental pathology as my PhD, and I remember this.
We all experimented with pathology, I believe, in college, right?
Well, I'm a molecular biologist more than anything.
Nice.
And I remember I was working with one of the docs who works in what I call the slice and dice room. And we had to go get a piece of equipment from the slice and dice room. And he had forgotten that I was sort of a green graduate student, had never seen, you know, a body before.
Wow.
And we walked into the morgue and they were in the process of cutting the top of somebody's head off, and it kind of made me turn a little green.
Yeah.
And and then we walked out of there, and he said, "Oh, I just realized you've probably never seen that before." And I said, "No, as a matter of fact, I haven't, and I'll be okay."
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Ugh, I can't. No, horror movies are, I don't know how I'm going to, when I see an HD, anything horror-y, I'll take that.
That's
I like everything fake. I don't like boxing, but I used to watch professional wrestling because I was like, I know it's fake. So, like, I know it's pre-planned, so that gives me the ease on it. Like, when someone actually had an accident, it would freak me out. Then I'd be like, oh, no!
Yeah.
No, he really tore it! Like, this one woman, I remember, like, just she went landed wrong, and her elbow just, you saw in the video they kept showing, just went out.
Do you remember who Psycho Sid? Psycho Sid was?
Yeah.
Yeah, he jumped off the top rope and snapped his, like, leg, and it was so gross.
I remember seeing that video.
Yeah.
So you can call it fake, but do you know how young those guys die?
Yeah. I know. Like, football. Yeah. I mean, fake and pre-planned. No, they're not trying to kill each other. They're actually trying to save each other from not dying.
Surprised Mick Foley's still alive after all the stuff he's done.
Well, and if you want to see a pretty good movie about it, I'm sure you've seen The Wrestler.
Oh, yeah, with Mickey Rourke.
I haven't actually seen it. I highly
recommend it. It may turn you off on the whole industry.
Been watching it. I didn't for a long time.
All wrestling is like a soap opera for men. That's all it was. So.
Eh.
No, you're doing. Yeah, all you're doing is following the storyline.
Some men.
Yeah,
I don't even like real sports. You know, in fact, I blurbed today on Facebook that the time when I'll be the 12th man is when I get paid as well as the 11th. I'm bitter.
You know, it's funny. Like this year, the last 2 years, I've been trying to like football.
Mm-hmm.
Like I keep watching the games. Like this year, I've been. I'm like, I just want to fit in. I see it on Facebook. Everybody's on it. I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always like, I've always been a Patriots fan because I'm from New England. You kind of like have to. Like you get ingrained. Like I watch the Red Sox play, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I'll go to a game. I love actually going to a game. Mm-hmm. I love the sport of baseball itself. But I've never like football. I like a well played game. Like I would always enjoy the Super Bowl because I was like, it was almost like more. Artistry to it.
Commercials for the movies that you want to see.
I like the commercial too. That was the gateway drug.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Silence. I say give it up now. I mean, let me put it this way. When you go to like community theater, one of the actors might actually go out with a beer for a beer with you afterwards. It's unlikely that you're going to talk one of the seats.
Oh, I'm never going to be like a fan. It's the social aspect.
Yeah.
That I want to enjoy it. I don't ever want to enjoy it as much as a lot of the people do. Yeah. But
I think I enjoy it too much. I'm a huge boxing fan. I love watching football, basketball. So
how come when I put out, hey, you want to come watch?
I thought you said, do you have any plans to watch the NFL or the?
No, but I put on Facebook, hey, if anybody wants to come watch, I got a new TV.
Well, Silas, nobody'd have to watch it with you.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly, right?
I left the room.
But you know, it's interesting. Like I'm not. As much as I want to be on Facebook, I don't read posts that much. I mean, I should. I mean, just know what everybody's talking about. Maybe I'd get booked on more shows if I did. So
you're always busy.
Yeah, true.
Maybe I'd be able to turn more people down.
Yeah, there you go, right?
Oh, wow. Well, just shuffle them over to your agent.
Yeah, there you go. Right?
So no, you should. That way you can say, I'm busy, but Silas is free.
But Silas is free. Get him going.
He'll represent the half.
Oh, exactly. Nice. All right.
So you want to talk about the book some more, right?
Yeah.
But
let's do it.
have all of the, has everyone been performed?
Not everyone. Mm-hmm. I'd say, let me count. I can't count that high, but I'd say about 10 or 12 of them have been performed.
That's awesome.
They've all been at least read on stage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. But as far as a full performance, not all of them have been performed yet, but they will be eventually.
So what's your playwriting? Is that your goal as a, to be, money? So money, no issue.
Is
it playwright?
Money will be an issue someday.
But if it's not
I'm
an
running
issue.
Out. In fact, I'm looking for a housemate as we speak. No, but anyhow, that's just a little plug. But yeah,
he's an author. You hear that, ladies?
Well, you know how artists are. They try and get money wherever they can get it.
Yeah.
But my overall goal is, like I said, to form a bridge between artists and scientists so that we understand each other a little bit. because, you know, I mean, it's, I think that a lot of times artists find scientists unfathomable. I mean, they just don't get it. You know, I mean, they use their cell phones, but they sure don't know how they work. But, right. You know, that's okay. I don't know how my cell phone works either, so mm-hmm. I understand. And on the other hand, I think that scientists often find artists totally confounding because they're more into the emotional kind of thinking about things as opposed to right. analytical. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I have this sort of little slogan that, you know, art evokes and science disambiguates. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I think that artists are really good at burrowing in on the emotional side of people. And let's face it, we respond more on an emotional level mm-hmm. than we ever do on a scientific level. How sure. many times are you totally faced with logic and you say, I'm going to do it the fun way. Yeah. You know, I think people do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, scientists are not emotionless either. I mean, they love their work and the creativity that is involved, and that's actually something that links science and art is a sense of creativity.
Yeah.
But artists try to burrow in on the artistic or the emotional side, whereas scientists are looking more at the analytical side, how things work. Mm-hmm. So artists, I think, are more into, you know, how can I evoke a response? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think that what's in common is that we all like to laugh.
Very okay. true.
And that, as I mentioned, the Jon Stewart kind of way of doing it is to, you know, nobody wants to get politics shoved down their throat. Okay, but he does it in a way.
Monica Lewinsky did.
boom, on your knees.
Poor Monica. Right.
And but when people are through laughing or through crying, okay, uh-huh. maybe they want to think a little bit about mm-hmm. what they just saw. Okay, so so a lot of what I do really is science, but it's science light. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's science entertainment. And, you know, one thing I would like to do is if I could get some sort of sponsors, okay, is I would like to have a international contest of short science plays, okay, and we could perform the very best plays, and I'd like to offer prizes, but that's in the future. We'll see how that goes. And wouldn't it be cool to be the head of a theater and be the scientific and artistic director? That's a position that is something new.
So you mean science, so not science fiction, but actual science plays.
Well, but science fiction really bridges the gap too. And in fact, a couple of the plays that are in my anthology are science fiction. I mean, one of them, for example, is called Porcupines in Love, which I would describe as serio comic, and it's somewhere in the future. And it is a couple of young lovers or lovers, wannabe lovers, who have this terrible problem in that they are infected with incompatible viruses and cannot touch each other because it's deadly.
Ooh.
Okay. And they have been raised by an ethos of corporations mm-hmm. sometime in the future where, you know, places like Google and Starbucks are in control. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they're out on a hillside, and they try and touch each other, but they can only do it through gloves.
Wow.
Okay. And, you know, so that touches on science fiction. That's mm-hmm. for sure. And I have another play, which is about, it's called The House of Souls, mm-hmm. which has a professor who is showing off his creations, where he creates four examples of different kinds of personalities, and it's sort of a Frankenstein kind of play where the end turns quite wrong for him. You know, I don't want to tip off too much.
Right. You know, here's what I'm thinking. Listening, like, what I really like about you, and what you want to do is. Because I asked, like, so where do you want to go with this? How do you want to make money? And you just said, well, your focus is on you want to bridge the gap between the two. It wasn't, right. It's not, it's not the result that you're looking at. It's almost the mission on what you do and what you love, that you're going after something that you love and finding a way to bridge that. As we talk about sometimes with comics, mm-hmm. there are some comics that are, they don't seem to love comedy as much as they want the result of being a comic.
Yeah.
They want to be a big comic, mm-hmm. whether that's money or that's fame or just steady employment as a comic. But they don't, when they talk about stuff, they don't talk about how much they love comedy. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think it's, you know, it's really endearing. I think it draws people to you when there's a thing, when you're in love with that actual product or the actual item.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Manny, is he calling me a sap?
I guess so. I was feeling the story. I was like,
I mean, I'm sappy. I'm like, wow, I just love that.
Tell you, that porcupine story sounded like somebody who was loving somebody with gonorrhea and just like had a glove. Never mind. That was just
that's too personal.
Too personal. Yeah, that wasn't me.
For you.
I'm just saying.
No.
I was a buddy.
Right. A
my
friend.
Name's Silas.
Hey.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've been married,
oh, he's married
most
now.
Of my life.
Yeah.
I've been married since I was 18.
From 18.
Oh, okay, no.
Got 38 now.
I well, speaking of gonorrhea, let's all clap for
that. Yes. Well done, sir. Well done. That's a good one. I got married in 98.
Okay. Divorced in...
Shut up.
Okay.
Wait. So I turned 8. How old was I?
Okay,
so 38. I was 24 when I got married. Mm-hmm. So, I'm 24 and I'm 38 now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, so, wow, this is a lot of math.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, yeah. Just to confuse it. No, but I think most of my adult life I've been married to someone.
Okay, there you go.
I've spent more time married, so I just don't understand.
My condolences.
Single lives. Oh. That's the thing. I have to say plural. Yeah. Wives. The wives of my lives.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Well, sister wives.
Yeah, so I didn't get to go out there to experience the clap and everything. Yeah. I missed out on a lot.
That's good. That's a good thing, man. Well, I mean, maybe missed out on the party. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Bored.
No,
yeah. I'm not bored now, but I'm wow. But sometimes I do regret. I'm like, I would tell my wife, no, my current wife. I'd say, I don't know, I wish, I never lived that life to go out there. And she's like, well, I like you who you are. I'm glad you didn't go do that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Probably be a little edgier.
I guess that works.
Maybe a stab wound or something.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool, like, though. That would give me cred.
Well, speaking of science this week, we actually, they found the biggest, structure in the universe, some, like, black hole that I was reading about.
Oh, what? I didn't hear about this.
I actually looked it up. Let's see. While we were
what a black hole?
It says that's largest great. Structure in the universe discovered. Let's see.
The universe itself.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. It said astronomers have discovered the largest known structure in the universe, a clump of active galactic cores. Excuse me. That stretch 4 billion light years from end to end. So
that's great.
There's a picture of it.
Oh wow. Huh. Put that on the website. That's cool.
Yeah. See, but that's a good example of something that, you know, I'm fascinated by.
Yeah,
and you're fascinated by. But there's many people who are, say, they still think that, you know, the sun goes around the earth.
Yeah, that's.
Know? I mean, and we all need a little science in our lives order to understand how our world works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things that I heard about in the last year that, well, we've all been fascinated by the Mars expeditions that we've had lately, and that was a real highlight. But
definitely.
But another one that I think is just fascinating is the discovery in the last few years of exoplanets, which they have now discovered several hundred of these planets that are not part of our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they identify these is they have such good instrumentation that they can see the reduction in light that is emitted when the planet passes in front of the star.
Wow.
Okay. And they
you mean planets in other solar systems?
That's correct.
When you say exoplanet. Okay.
Outside of our system. You know, like they've even found a planet at Alpha Centauri.
Right.
And,
okay. Yeah.
And there's several hundred of these now, and many of them look a lot like Earth's.
Yeah.
And to me, that's
hacks.
Like, wow.
They're hack planets. As
yeah, call them. Exactly.
So, I don't know. There's not okay. only comedians.
Yeah. That'd be an awful world, all comedians.
Yeah, exactly.
No audience at all.
Yeah, that's a planet of open micing.
Yeah, basically. Exactly.
Oh my
I love the diamond planet. I don't know if they think that amazes me that they can go like, oh, not only have found a planet, we think we're pretty sure it's all diamond.
That's amazing.
That amazes me that you can do that with just instrumentation.
I would steal that planet.
That's right out of Arthur C. Clarke. I think he had a planet very similar to that in one of his books, and I can't even remember which one. I think it was one of the 2030 or 61 or something.
It may have been Kryptonian.
Kryptonite. Have you been fascinated with science your whole life?
Ever since I can remember. The earliest remembrance I have of liking animals, and I'm a biologist, is when I was like 5 or 6 years old, and my parents got a beagle that I named Pepper. Mm. And unfortunately, my beagle used to wrestle with my little sister, and it bit my sister. And I was all in favor of getting rid of my sister, but they got rid of the dog. I was outvoted by the bees. Oh, yeah. But that's my earliest remembrance. And I collected, snakes and gerbils. And I went through my ichthyology phase when I was in seventh grade. I actually had, which is lots of aquariums. Mm-hmm. And I still remember when I was in seventh grade, my favorite Corydora catfish, which is just these little bottom feeder catfish, died. And I cried.
Oh, man.
It was so sad. I guess you do stuff like that when you're 12. I don't know.
Yeah. But, it was interesting. I was actually in a business meeting. And this big, one of the higher-ups he was talking to a client of ours, and he was talking about how, and we're trying to sell them something, mind you. He ends up talking about, he looks at their fish tank, he was like, oh yeah, I used to take those fish and feed them to my piranhas. And I was like, what kind of sick shit did you say during a meeting?
Out of Rome.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that was the most random statement, and I was like, they probably think you are a murderer. And I was like, this is the most, so...
And you were trying to sell him something.
Yeah, we're trying to sell him something. And he's like, I used to feed those to a piranha. And everybody just kind of looks at him like, what the fuck? So it was,
Did you sell him anything?
No, they were like, get the fuck out.
go get in the piranha
tank. Yeah, exactly. Get in the piranha tank, you sick bastard.
So, and you're on Facebook, you're like a devout atheist, right?
I wouldn't exactly put it
like
that
you way. We know a comic who just goes like all atheism all the time. He's like whatever. Of who?
Yeah.
Travis?
Oh, Travis Simmons?
Travis like has like a practically a station on
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I didn't know
Travis Simmons station of trying to turn everyone against religion. Like I'll see you post stuff about the guy like Richard
Dawkins?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you promote I see you promoting like secular stuff.
Yes.
Now, was your family very secular?
Yeah, they are very secular, or were. My father has passed away. Mm-hmm. My mother is very much like I am, but we were raised in freedom more or less. And mm-hmm. I have two sisters, and one of them is a fundamentalist in the Bible Belt, and the other one is a Catholic living in
your
Kansas
sisters?
City. Yeah, and I'm sort of the black sheep of the family, mm-hmm. me and mom, I guess.
Wait, how can mom be the black sheep? Wouldn't the fundamental be the black sheep?
I don't know. It depends on how you look at it, I guess. I don't know.
That's interesting.
She's a stray, I suppose.
Depends what color your sheep was to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm wondering, because you're atheist also, to a certain extent. You're on the fence.
I'm agnostic, which is, which I know sounds like you're just a pussy. You won't say what you are.
No, I think that's...
Let me fill it in for you.
Yeah.
Okay, when I was in high school, long time ago, I there was the choices between atheist, theist, and agnostic. And mm-hmm. I sort of made up a fourth category, and I found out it has a term. I just said confused.
Mm-hmm.
I have no freaking idea why we're here, you mm-hmm. know. And I wouldn't exactly call that agnostic, but I found out that that has sort of a term for it, which is... Ignostic, mm-hmm. Ignostic, which is basically, I don't know how to define God, so I don't really understand the question.
True.
And to me, the idea of God may be so far beyond me that it'd be like teaching integral calculus to an earthworm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just, I can't take a stance on it. I will say it's unproven.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I don't like making shit up. I don't like, things like Noah's Ark and people coming back from the dead and people walking on water and all that, it just kind of makes me cringe
mm-hmm.
because I don't see any evidence for it. I mean, when somebody says to me they're talking to angels, I really wonder. But, you know, I mean, I can see that it gives a lot of people power and strength to move on. And in my opinion, in the beginning, man created God, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think there's very good evolutionary reasons why we would want to do that. I mean, to provide you with an example, let's just go back to the Middle Ages when you're a, you know, you're a feudal serf working out in the field, and your life is pretty miserable with all the diseases and poverty and squalor and all that. Well, if you could plant in your head the idea that if you're basically a good person, that after all of this horrific life, that you might go to a happy place that they call heaven for eternity, it might get you through the day. And if you get through the day, well, you might get through tomorrow, and you might just live long enough to make babies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it might have an evolutionary advantage, even if it is not true. I mean, there's all kinds of things I don't believe in. Ghosts, you know, unicorns, leprechauns. I don't believe my cat really loves me. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there that I don't really believe. Okay. But I can see where people can use these things to make themselves better. I think that where we get in trouble is when people who are religious start trying to put their morality on others. Okay. If it gives you strength, I can deal with that. But if you start telling me how to live, no.
Definitely.
You know, like, it should give you strength internally, but not power over others.
That's pretty good. I like that.
And it's interesting because, like, I totally can see where you guys are coming from. Like, I'm a little bit of the opposite. You know, I definitely believe that there's something bigger than me. But it's like, you know, my mom always raised us not to put your, don't put your beliefs on anybody else. You know, and it's like, be a living example of, you know, what you believe.
Sure.
And if people decide to follow you and do what you do, then, you know, more power to you. But I think, you know, for me, it's strange. You've seen, I've seen so much weird stuff in my life. And I mean, there might be an explanation for it. But, you know, it's like, when you talk to people like Ralphie May, who, you know, been pronounced dead twice, and he said it literally felt like somebody was pulling him out of his body. He could see himself. I mean, that right there is maybe one thing that it's like, how would you explain that? I mean, there's definitely an energy. I, you know, I'm the person who will tell you that I don't necessarily know if, like, I don't believe in the Bible to, you know, the fullest extent of everything that's written in there. I feel like if there is a God, like, his word is written in your essence. You know, it's not, I mean, you got to realize that there was people, I feel like, probably trying to turn religion into law. And then, you know, people are following this and that. And it's like, don't do this. But I also feel like if there is a God, he doesn't make mistakes. He's not going to hate gay people. He's not going to hate, you know, so. But you look at a lot of Republicans and they try to tell you, you know, oh, God doesn't want this. You know, it's like, how do you know what God wants?
And the thing, I would probably be atheist, except that I've had, I've remembered them ever since. I've had two out-of-body experiences in my life, and they've tripped me out. And I remember the moment they happened and the moment after, and I was like, freaked out and, like, almost in shock going back and sitting there and not telling anyone about it for a little bit until later. I'm like, okay, so this happened. And both were in the water. So I was very alert. It was not a dream. I was doing something active when they happened. And that's what always tripped me out, to go, well, I think whether it is science or it's something theological, we don't know everything about our brains or what maybe is, if there is more, like, if there is a way to send to our brain waves out to be able to see projections of ourselves. I don't know. That can very be much science. Like,
well, I don't know if that could be science unless you can test it. But let me ask you, how could you distinguish your experiences from hallucinations, which they know that people have? You know, I mean,
like
they
an
have
instant hallucination.
Oh,
like,
sure. I mean, here's an example of something that they have tested, and you know, I don't have the documentation with me, but people have said that, like, when they're in the operating room, they feel like sometimes they have an out of body experience where they're, like, actually hovering over the operating room table because they're in a quote near death experience. Okay, so what they've done is they've taken things that have words on them that are pointed at the ceiling, okay, so that when people presumably can hover over the operating table, they'll be able to read the words, but they can't read them from below. And they've never been able to identify what those words are.
Even when people said they had an out-of-body experience?
They've never been able to identify it. And in fact, as far as psychic phenomenon goes, there has never been proven any reliable psychic phenomenon that actually has happened. In fact, if you think that you can, if anyone thinks that they can show that they have psychic phenomenon, they can approach the James Randi Educational Foundation. And James Randi has been walking around with a $1 million check in his wallet forever. Mm-hmm. Okay. And no one has ever been able to show psychic phenomena, even once.
It's interesting. Like, I don't really talk about it much. I think I may have told you about it once, but like my whole side of my mom's family, you know, it's like the premonition thing. It's very strange. Like, my mom, when I was probably like around 8 or 9, she kept telling me, she was like, do me a favor, don't play in the street. I keep having this dream about a fire truck driving off, shoes in the middle of the street.
Sure.
And I was like, okay. You know, so one morning we're crossing the street to church. I step on the back of my sister's shoe, bend down and pick it up. This Asian lady, just happened to be Asian, I'm not saying they're bad drivers. The lady floors it. I trip, trying to get out of the way. The car runs over my leg, bone bends, doesn't break, right in front of church. Screaming, everybody else is screaming from what they saw. And the fire department was right across the street. They came out, put my leg in a splint, threw me in the back of the fire truck, drove off. And my mom was like, there was a shoe, there was a fire truck going down the street. Maybe it's something, coincidence, but not even probably a year later. Not to say that, you know, maybe my family has bad luck with legs. I don't know. My aunt kept having this nightmare about losing a leg. Mm-hmm. She runs into my mom's room. My mom was like, you know, and my aunt will tell you to this day, she was like, I remember going into your mom's room, telling her, you know, hey, I had a dream that I lost my leg. And she was like, my mom was like, it's just a nightmare. Go back to sleep. Not even a month later, she fainted, fell on a train track, lost her leg. And they, you know, they tied it off, saved the, you know, saved her. But what is that? I don't know. Could it be that we're on an ever loop? You know, we're on a time loop. Your brain taps into some future event. Maybe you see something projected from a tragic incident. I don't know. But
I just wonder sometimes, like, you know, I like the term, what'd you call it? Agnostic. Agnostic.
Look it up.
Agnostic. So I'm like an agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Racist.
All right. But I love that because I'm like, that. I think that term just kind of describes what I've felt often. And I just wonder, like, when we say, well, it's never been proven, like, I just wonder, like, we don't even know how to test it yet. Like, I wonder back in caveman days, they couldn't have tested for protons. Or like, everything was there, sure, but they had no way to prove it. They didn't have the science yet to fathom.
And that's where you need to continue to be confused. Mm-hmm. I mean, for example, for many, many years, they didn't know what caused malaria. In fact, the term malaria was, you know, bad air. They thought it was caused by bad air. The fact of the matter is that bad air had mosquitoes in it, as they figured out eventually. Yeah. And the mosquitoes are infected with something that's called, you know, plasmodium or malaria. Right. And that's how people got malaria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before germ theory was developed and we understood things like bacteria and protozoans that can infect us and cause disease, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means that we didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, there are things that we understand pretty well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we understand now things like how DNA is transcribed better and better all the time. We understand evolution pretty well, at least in its overall makeup about how it works. There are many things that we just don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, like the dark matter in the universe, and then there's just, you know, it's ever going to be an exploration, you know, and we only have just the most skeletal idea about how the universe started and was created, or whether it's just always been here.
True.
Yeah. You know? So I think that we always have to keep an open mind, but as they say, you don't want your brains to fall out.
True.
You
know? Right.
I'm excited to read. There's a book with this neurologist, I guess, who was pronounced dead for X amount of time, and it was his
decision. He's selling a lot of books, but boy, I don't believe a word of it.
I mean, it could very well be, you know, just made up. I mean, hey, if he's trying to make a quick dollar, why not? So
I just
make
it a lot. I'm thinking about what you said. I was like, I have a feeling you're going to wait for the movie.
Exactly.
Like, I want to get that book. Oh, yeah. But that's gonna. Yeah, there's gonna another. There's it.
A, you know, it's interesting too because there was a kid who they said was pronounced dead, and he could describe heaven and his relatives. But I'm like, what would stop a parent from just saying, "All right, go along with this story. We're gonna make a ton of money out of this.
Go for it."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, you know, I'm not trying to discredit anybody's experience because very well could be. We won't know until we perish, you know?
Well, so. Probably not, because I think that when we die, we're probably just going to rot.
Right.
But, I mean, and in fact, what I dislike is when people think that atheists are negative. They're not necessarily negative. They're just, like I said, we don't want to make stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We want to have a realistic view of the universe and how things are going to work. We have a very strong need to find the truth. Now, I'll tell a little story about, I just got back from Utah and I visited the Mormon Temple Square and got a tour of the, of not the actual temple, but the greeting area.
Mm-hmm.
And they give tours, by young female missionaries from various countries. Okay. And they're all attractive, and it was funny. I walked
where
in front.
Where was this located? Temple
Square.
Not sure we'd be allowed, but.
They're married. Remember?
They're married. Hey, I'm married. They're Mormon. Nothing's going to happen.
There you go.
But,
gosh.
I go to Best Buy. I don't leave with shit.
Yeah.
So I walked in, and they gave me the tour of the place, and I'll just truncate it a little bit. And that is, we were talking about Noah's Ark earlier. They have a bunch of portraits of prophets that were important to the religion, and one of them was Noah's Ark. And I looked at the young Thai missionary and said, "You know, how did the penguins get out of Noah's Ark? I've always wondered that." She didn't answer, just deer in headlights. Mm-hmm. And then I said, "Well, how about the dinosaurs? How did they get on there? They were so big." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, maybe back then they were really little." And then I was deer in headlights. The final word that we had at this temple square was this young lass says to me, "You don't have to know everything, only enough to achieve salvation."
Mm-hmm.
And I responded with, "Well, I want to know everything about everything."
Mm-hmm.
And then I rethought that, and I said to myself, this reminds me of an awful lot of the Christian myth of the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She put her blinders on, and she didn't need to know things like evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And she just needed enough to support her faith, to achieve salvation in her mind. I, on the other hand, want to know everything about everything, but let's face it, that gets me in trouble sometimes.
Sure, I guess it's Pandora's box kind of thing.
Yeah, well, and let's face it, what is more like the Pandora's box than the potential for global thermonuclear war?
True.
Okay. If, if we want to know everything about everything, that's an enormous responsibility that we can't shuffle off on, some big guy up in the sky that's going to take care of us.
Yeah.
We have to take care of ourselves. We have to make sure we don't blow ourselves up.
No, very true.
Right.
That's one
tough.
Thing. That's one
it's
thing
an
they
enormous
used
responsibility.
To, one thing that used to bother me. Whatever political party you're part of, whatever. But I hated when Republican, speakers of the House would say things like, "Oh, the world will end when God wants it to end." I'm like, that just would eat me. It just pisses me off because it's like, well, even if there is a God, I feel like he puts it in your hands, I mean, it's like, there's that, free will. So it's like, what are you?
Well, even worse are the people who want it to come so they can get to heaven early.
Yeah,
and that really, I just want to throttle them.
Oh, yeah,
and send them now.
I've had a few instances with that. And my wife, who is Christian, but she's a very liberal thinking, she's like, that's just ridiculous. Because she's had friends, and I'm there with them, and they're like, "Hey, if I get in the car accident, I get to meet Jesus, so it'll all be good." And I'm like, "Yeah, what about me? I'm in the back seat."
Exactly.
Yeah,
Underwood,
I'm not.
Carrie Underwood's playing, "Jesus, take the wheel."
I'm not. If you believe your beliefs, you know that I'm going to go to hell.
Yeah.
So then you're also sending me to hell by being okay getting the wreck.
Yeah.
So how about instead of all that, just slow the F down.
See, here's, it's
comments.
Just slow
not
down.
It's interesting, though, because, I don't know, maybe I just have a different spin on things from most of the people who believe, but I don't think that, I feel like if you're a good person in general, if there is, you know, a heaven, I feel like you go there. I don't feel like, I mean, if you're not killing people, you're not raping people, you're not doing, you know, evil. If there is a heaven, I think that you get in, you know what I mean? Especially being a comic, I think I'll get in on a curve.
You know what? You
better talk good jokes. Oh, yeah, exactly. God's going to be like, I didn't like that joke.
I didn't like that.
You walk around saying God damn it a lot. I don't say Manny damn it a lot, do
but I know I have one religious joke that I seem to get everyone to laugh at regardless of. It's the where I talk about because my wife is Christian, very, yeah, very, very Christian, and
very, very, very. Was well, that very,
I always,
very?
Yeah, I would say like she's
I thought
like,
she was liberal.
She's like, I say she's well, she but her beliefs at least when I met her like very Christian, like Noah's Ark Christian, and I'm not, but you know, it's about finding commonalities within mm-hmm. our differences.
Like that's what we
like,
gotta do.
Her favorite food is fettuccine Alfredo. Well, mine is eggplant parmesan, but they're both Italian. At night, she likes to curl up and read the Bible. I like to watch Star Trek, but they're both science fiction. So they.
I think she might look at it a little differently.
She, I know she does, but she's. She, I think she's. His girlfriend's very religious.
Yeah.
I saw her crack up at the joke. And I've been to places where I knew these people were religious. They laughed at it, and so did the atheists too. So it's like they're also come together in this joke.
Definitely.
Like they like the they like the little lesson.
Well, then you're on the same. You're on board with me. You know, make people laugh. And let them think about.
Totally. I mean, that's one thing that appealed to me about comedy a long time ago. I liked doing stuff that mattered, which theater to me mattered very much. And, the truth always appealed to me. But then I always loved getting people to think and I love the idea of catching them think. So that drew me to comedies that did have a message in them. Like I wasn't really I enjoyed like a Neil Simon. I love the Three Stooges. They were cracking me up, but I never wanted to direct a Three Stooges, you know, show. But I loved to have something where I cut, like there was this thought that you could catch somebody. So those are the things that really appealed to me.
You know what I definitely want to do? Like I won't do it because like I feel lazy. Like my beliefs, well, I'm probably scared, but, like I wouldn't go in anywhere that's haunted or, you know, that I feel is haunted.
Really?
But I don't know. I'm too afraid of.
You know what? Regardless of religion, I do feel there's bad energy.
Yeah.
I believe there's things that
energy is the potential to do work. And if you can't measure it, then how can you call it bad energy?
Well, I was just thinking, like, if you can measure, like, with, you know, scientific tools, you know, you see them on, and this is, it's Ghost Hunter, so I don't know if that's real, you know, but.
It's not.
I know, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, definitely. But it's like.
Now, Ghostbusters, that was real.
Right, exactly. Proton packs, definitely.
Don't cross streams.
So, like, maybe here's the thing that I would want to, like, ask, like, an atheist friend to do. For me.
Here I am.
Okay. If you could go to like 3 haunted houses, like that you just know have weird paranormal activity or, you know, and maybe measure it with some sort of scientific like way to measure energy, but, you know, and just tell me what you experience.
I'd be delighted to do that. If you want to do that, I will find someone who will do that for you and we'll use whatever instrumentation you want and with correct controls.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
I mean, we'll go. In fact, there are folks who will do that. And in fact, I've always had this dream of buying a property that is low priced because they think it's haunted. Because I'd be happy to buy it because since I don't believe in ghosts, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and see, I could get it.
He's
cheap.
The guy that gets killed first.
He didn't believe.
He didn't believe.
And I know stuff on TV is just for entertainment value, you know, so like that's all I leave it at. You know, Ghost Hunters, you know, I'm just like, whatever, you know, and, you know, some of those ghost stories where the guy's like, come at me, bro, you know, with the ghost and just like, but I would love, I mean, it, especially because I'm too afraid to do it. But if you're not, I would love to just see what you experience from your standpoint because you're not afraid.
Sure.
You would have the right controls in place and just tell me what you experience. And if you don't see anything or you don't, you know, but I feel like, I don't know, man.
But you'd be looking to not see anything, wouldn't you?
No. Let me say this. I will cop to some of that. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why is because things like astrology and mm-hmm. reincarnation and ghosts and things like that, time and time and time again,
mm-hmm.
scientists have been asked to test these things,
yeah.
and they've never found it.
Mm-hmm.
They have never found it when using objective tests.
Right.
So I got to admit, I mean, it's kind of like, after a while, I just don't even want to deal with it. So I am a right. little close-minded. In the same sense that I'm not going to argue with someone who thinks the Earth is flat either.
True.
I'm done with that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with someone who thinks the Earth is 6,000 years old. There's mm-hmm. just so much contrary evidence that it, you know, the person is ignoring
yeah.
that it's frankly not worth my time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll for you, Manny, I will find someone who will find that instrumentation.
That'd be great.
You know, I mean, I think it'd be kind of a hoot.
Yeah.
It would.
See, I just have, you know, there's things like places where there's been lots of deaths. Like, I'll watch things that where they talk about.
Like an asylum.
Just how you can feel the chill going in. And I wonder, like, I'd love to find tests where people can go and not knowing. Well, they brought yeah, things yeah. into play. They brought people into places who were completely unaware why they were going in there, and say they really like felt everything. Like I've thought the you know, like the Aurora shooting, how they're reopening it, and mm-hmm. I said, I was like, I think that theater, it's the actual theater it happened in.
Yeah.
They should close it. They should maybe turn that into some sort of
mm-hmm.
thing, a memorial in there. You yeah. know, don't leave
same
the seats
with the
up
Sandy Point School,
right? Yeah. Like exactly. because I could never. Like, I don't think if I was in that town, I'd never be able to go to that theater. I would go to the next town because the energy would creep me out and I would be thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that theater's going to close. I don't think that they'll last. Yeah. I think too many people will be like, it just wigs me out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at very least, I could never walk into that actual theater.
Same, right.
And feel comfortable.
Yeah. What theater is
I would think
movie
just,
in?
Yeah, oh, just lock that door and, you know, we can all know it's there.
Exactly.
But I just wonder, like, if you walked in there, would you feel it? Like, would there be a feeling of...
I never told anybody this, but... Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I told one person.
Not
during
telling
that,
a million listeners.
Yeah, not telling a million listeners. During that, and I mean, call it what you want. I don't know why, but it was about 11:30. We were getting ready to see Dark Knight. Colorado is how many hours ahead of us?
Couple
hours, right? What are they, like one or two?
I think they're two.
I thought it was one. They're in mountain.
That's what I was thinking, like 1 hour ahead of us, right?
I think so.
So it was probably like 11:45-ish. I think the shooting happened somewhere right around that time.
Yeah.
But while sitting in the movie theater, I got this nauseous feeling. And it was a weird, like, dude, you need to get out of this movie theater. There's something not right in the world. And I couldn't put my hand on it, but it was just like something is seriously bothering you. And we walk out of the theater, and they were like, that happened. I was like, I don't know why or what was going through my body. Everything should have been normal. We're just sitting there watching the movie.
Well, sometimes in retrospect, some of those things become clearer. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, our memories tend to be, a little more plastic when it comes mm-hmm. to the past. You know, it's sort of like when they have earthquakes and, mm-hmm. and people say, Fifi was going crazy when the earthquake
went
on. Well, the fact is, Fifi goes crazy a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things, for example, that is a good example is they used to think that there was many more hospital check-ins, emergency check-ins, when there was a full moon. They blame it on a full moon. You know, you meet even the ER docs and the nurses were like, it's a full moon. But then when they went back and did the statistics, they found that there was really no difference in terms of admissions.
When I was just like 3 months into comedy, if that, I was downtown in Seattle. And I was there and I liked to try to socialize, you know, with everybody I was after. And it was like a Friday night. It was only like 10:30 or something. Mm-hmm. Like the open mic had gone really quick, and I'm sitting there and I'm talking, and then suddenly I got antsy. Like I never liked this. I'm like, I should go. I just should go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I want to go.
Yeah.
So I left, and on my way to the car, I ended up intervening in a mugging. And so I tried to chase the guy, and then he ran to an alley, and then I'm not going in there, that's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So then I went, and then I talked to the woman, and then I walked her to her boyfriend in the bar, and then we ended up hanging out there, they bought me drinks and stuff. But literally, had I not at that moment suddenly felt like, I need to go.
Yeah, right.
This wouldn't have happened, and it was such an odd, even as I'm walking, I'm like, why am I leaving?
Yeah.
I have nothing to go to
right
now, but I just felt like I shouldn't be here any longer.
Yeah, see,
and
things
these
like
coincidences
are,
happen all the time. You guys remind me of Fifi
never,
the Poodle.
I don't do that. It was so out of character when it happened.
It is. I mean, there's certain things in life that it's like, you don't know why they happen. But it's like, even with, like, premonitions, I mean, there's sometimes where I'll dream of something, and maybe it's my mind, you know, that's playing tricks on me, but like I'll dream about it and then completely forget about it. And then it's like, holy shit, I've relived this. I've been.
Well, I have that. I'll have those deja vu moments. And my ex used to always say, no, she saw it on TV. It's this spasm in the brain that causes this feeling of deja vu. And I'd be like, no, I remember it was 3 years ago. I remember seeing that, like a billboard like that with this thing going on. Mm-hmm. Like I'll have these moments happen. I'm like, holy, whoa, hey, that thing that just happened. I remember when I dreamt that.
Dude, yeah.
But that happens to me. For example, I will think for a long time along certain issues. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I'll come up with an idea for a play.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'll say, you know, I thought of this a long time ago, mm-hmm. you know, and it just never came to fruition. So, and I think that, for example, and, you know, some of my atheist friends would take issue with this, but like one of the values of prayer, mm-hmm. okay, is that it focuses people's minds on what they want and what they're thinking about. It just takes them along that trip. Now, I have problems with, you know, remote prayer to, you know, mm-hmm. cure somebody in Bolivia of cancer or something like that. But nonetheless, I think that if you focus your mind on something, mm-hmm. and if it, you know, if it reprises itself in your mind enough, eventually it will come to the front.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of this is what it's about. But what you guys are both recounting is very emotional feelings. Okay. And I was only half joking when I said you guys both remind me of Fifi. The closest I ever came to that is when I was a teenager and I visited Gettysburg,
mm-hmm.
and I just saw grave after grave of, you know, unknown soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I started, you know, I was terribly emotionally distraught. You know, mm-hmm. I just started, you know, once again, I was a teenager. I was crying. You know, all these people died for me.
Yeah.
But all these crosses around it almost felt like there were ghosts. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm cognizant of the fact that it was an emotional response to just being, you know, hit with all of this at once.
Yeah.
And so I think these kinds of things happen to but there's a rational explanation.
This billboard, it was probably like,
oh, totally.
Like this dinner and the thing that was said that has no emotional attachment. It was the
same here. Yeah.
The only thing was that I remembered this, like, and I never.
I was.
This moment happened somehow before that I had seen this happen, and I thought it was a dream.
Yeah.
Right. But it turns out it happens later.
You know, it's like I had the exact same no emotional attachment to it. I was at the bank. I see my assistant manager walk by, somebody walks out of the vault, and then like somebody says something exactly just like the dream happened. And I was like, I don't get it. Why did I have a dream exactly like this? But
other people dream of lottery numbers.
That's what I'm saying.
I dream like Mick said hi.
Yeah.
Hey, Mick.
Yeah.
Well, let me know if you dream of the right lottery number.
Right.
You know, not afterwards.
Yeah, here's something interesting. I had a dream of the lottery numbers, and like three of them were right, but the other six, or the other three were just like, yeah. It was strange, and it was for the future. Yeah.
See, that's a horrible example. I totally had a dream.
Thanks for helping.
And three of the six numbers.
Oh, dude, it was crazy, because I was telling Jay, I was like, should I play those? He's like, I can play those numbers. And I was like, all right. So I played them, and I got like, what, $20 or something like that.
Dude, cool. Your dream wizard's horrible.
Hey, thank
you. I'm gonna give you three of the tickets.
Give you three of these.
I'll give three of the numbers. Yeah. Oh, you have $20.
Yeah. If there are wet dreams, that was a dry
dream. Exactly. It's like, you son of a bitch dream. But it's interesting. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, Bill Maher. You know who Bill Maher is, right?
Sure.
Bill Maher's huge atheist, you know? And I can understand why he thinks the way he does, because he feels like religion is. I feel like he thinks it spits in the face of a lot of people, and it's dangerous. He feels, you know.
Well, it spits in the face of reality in some people's view. Mine too.
Religious? Did you watch
that? I watched that.
I loved every minute of it.
So my thing with religious is there are a lot of bad Christians. There's a lot of bad, you know, atheists out there. There's bad on every side, but it's just like the guy who bothered me the most out of religious was that preacher who was like, who had all that money, and his mm-hmm. congregation people were probably suffering, but he was trying to make up stuff from the Bible. He was like, no, God said I should be looking good and everything like that. I'm like, that's the kind of person he flies in, like there's people who fly in helicopters to church, and I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, that's ridiculous to me. Well, when that, you know, that should be spread among your church, you know?
Well, and what I dislike is the fact that on the national level, in terms of elected officials, we have only one, and I think he's retired or is retiring, one person who is, says he's an atheist.
There's only a female that was just elected.
Just elected?
Yeah.
Well, then recently. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, I just saw
there's
that
some
on Facebook.
Some that are closet atheists.
At least it was on Facebook, so, I mean, so it should be true.
Where's she from? You know?
No.
No, I'll have to check that out. But there was I think his name was Stack, John Stack, something Stack, from California. And I believe he's retired now or soon. And, and you know, that's a huge number of people which are disenfranchised from the decision process.
Yeah.
And I think that's wrong, but this is America. You know?
True.
I mean, let's face it, there's many minority groups who have been disenfranchised from the process. I mean, we've never had a woman president. We have had only one black president, but, you know, we're making progress.
Yeah.
There'll be no more white presidents.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There
Once
was
you've gone black.
You never go back. Or you end up a single mom. Who was it? Brett Ernst. Do you know who he is? He's a comic. He was on Vince Vaughn's Wild West comic tour.
Okay.
And he had a great joke about it. But he was saying that he always felt like he was being attacked because he felt like all people say all wars were caused by, you know, people who believe,
not.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know, it's like by religious. But, I mean, then again, when you look at some of the craziest, you know, killers, I mean, I guess some of them were atheists. I mean, who? Hitler? He was an atheist.
He was Catholic.
No, he was not. He was Catholic.
He's got okay. Yeah. Well, what about let's see, Stalin? Was he?
Stalin, I think, was an atheist.
Stalin was an atheist.
It's kind of a neutral term.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, exactly. Josef Mengele probably had a religion. I'm not sure of that.
Probably.
But, you know, I mean, whether you have a religion or you don't, people, you know, kill each other whether they feel like it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sad to say.
It's crazy.
President Obama appears to be religious.
Semi.
He has killed a lot of people.
Well, you know what's interesting? He appears to be religious, but you know he doesn't really. Not as much as some of the other presidents. He doesn't
George
really throw
Bush waged a war.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Because a lot of people claim like they're religious, but then they still caused a bunch of deaths.
Well, right? let's face it. Obama did go to that black church with Reverend Wright for many years, but some people speculate that he did it mainly for social reasons. Now, I don't think that's entirely true. One thing he does is he often includes in his speeches non-believers. He's been doing that less lately. But he almost always ends his, you know, rallies with God bless you, God bless America, whatever.
You have to if you're the president.
And I guess that's just part of the deal right now.
Yeah.
You
know?
Well, what every president has gone to church, though. And I remember, what's his name, Adam Carolla, talking about, he didn't believe for a minute that Clinton was religious. He's like, that's just one of the BS things you have to do to go there, because the religious person isn't going to be in there. And then banging his intern the next night, like, you know, and he goes for complete show.
Yeah,
and you know, and now he's like, now I got to go to church to show remorse too.
Chris
like,
Rock,
I'll be there.
Chris Rock said it best, though: a man is as faithful as his options. So,
really. Yeah.
Well, one thing I will say is that fundamentalism is well known to cause teen pregnancy, or well associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the reason is that fundamentalist communities tend not to talk about options, you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, birth control.
Yeah.
Okay. So that when the mood hits and there's no preparation for the consequences, pregnancy happens. That's how we make babies. We like sex, not for the fun of it. We like sex because it's fun and it makes babies.
Yeah, it's appropriate.
Because people who didn't like sex from many generations ago, they died out.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Okay, we got to wrap up. So we can find you. Is your website up?
The website is up, but it's under construction, so it's about half up.
Okay.
It's scottbastian.com, S-C-O-T-1-T, bastian.com.
Yeah, no one's writing it down. We'll put a link on our site.
All right, and put a link to the
There's
book.
Nobody on their treadmill. Looking at the podcast. Let me get that down. It'll be on our site, blackandhalf.com.
And the book's called Do You Think?
Do You Think?
Science Fiction and Skepticism.
People definitely. You got any plays coming up?
See, this is what he does every freaking time.
Yeah.
I try to wrap it up
well,
and say bye, and then he's like, and I'm like, because we're out of time. And then he goes, Oh, so what do you got coming up? And now we're going to have a 20-minute conversation.
I just want to promote it. I just want to promote whatever he has coming up.
Oh, a play?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Any play?
Yeah, coming up.
Every time.
Can I talk now?
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I am engaged in readings with Warp on occasion, writers and actors reading and performing, and I'm also a member of the Arts West Seattle Playwrights Studio. And I've been mostly focusing on the book and the website and getting the blog together. And I also just got back from a 30-day vacation, boo-hoo me. And so I do not have any plays in the immediate future. I might have one this spring as part of the Warp show. And right now I am preparing a talk for my Seattle Skeptics group on my trip to the Mormon Temple Square, which is going to be this week. You know. And so, no, is the short answer. I am working on a play right now, which is co-writing it with Carl Nelson, and it's a play called Jabba Porky, and it's also in the book, but we're revising it. Yeah, it's about two guys. Well, it's actually got several characters. Two guys are avowed vegetarians in a restaurant. In the fact that they love vegetables so much that they only eat the animals that eat their precious vegetables. Okay. And it has a waitress in it, and later on a woman comes in who's terribly distressed because her husband wants to kill the moles that are eating his precious lawn. And they are joined by a rabbi who... It goes on and on.
Wow. I am so straight. Then I want to sleep with all the guys sleeping with the women.
Yeah, exactly, right?
That's how straight I am.
That's how straight.
You're just straight and narrow, man.
That's right.
Hilarious.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
Yeah, I'm cutting it there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a perfect end.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Black and a half?
Black and a half. Ready for action, nip it in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see, my nigga went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Give me one pass.